Book of Psalm, chapter 150. Why is it that we pray and God answers our prayers and we think that's weird? We are astonished, surprised, confused whenever God shows up in our life entirely too often. And we're not the only ones. We're going to go to the New Testament and read of a group of people that were as well tonight. But whenever we ask God, whenever we pray to God, and whenever we seek things of Him, blessings especially, we're 99% of the time less thankful than we ought to be. But even sometimes we're surprised that it's worked out that way, that God showed up that way. And then at the end of that story, we forget to praise Him the way that we should. And I think it's fitting that the first chapter of Psalms talks about how it is that we're supposed to be a Christian, how it is that we're supposed to be that blessed man. And then the last chapter of Psalms, and it goes through, the book of Psalms goes through every high and every low that you can think of. And the last chapter is praising God because of all these other Psalms. Because He pulled us out of a pit. Because He took care of our enemies. Because He did all of this for us. Because He sent His Son. Because He fought our battles. Because He did this for us. The last chapter of Psalms ends up being an exhortation to God. Chapter 150, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him in according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him. Ooh. Baptists like to skip over that word dance, don't we? Should have skipped it. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. And praise Him with high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I think I could have been in band if I'd have known that I could do the... something I could have played. Cymbals is something anybody can play. And the Bible talks here of every instrument that they had access to in this day. And some that they even didn't. There's no recorded history of them having an organ back in biblical times, in pre-New Testament. There's no historical documentation of the possibility that they even had some kind of air organ at all. There's no historical documentation other than the Bible saying it several times, especially in the book of Psalms, that this psalm should be played, praise should be played, worship should be played on some sort of organ. But look at what we're praising Him for. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary and the firmament of His power. Praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for where He is. Praise Him for what He's done. Verse number 2. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. The kids were up here practicing. We got up here at 6 o'clock with them. And they were up here practicing. And one of them stood up here. And he put his hands in his pockets. And he looked down. I don't think he ever looked up. He looked down. And he sang a song. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He will do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And that was as energetic as we could make him. I offered him a candy bar, chocolate, didn't matter. He was just as anti-worship tonight as we could get. But he was here. And then there was a girl. She stood right about here. And she was kind of bouncing and she was singing. Oh my goodness, that girl was singing. And she was the youngest one up here other than Bailey. And she was singing louder than all the rest of them combined. We turned the microphones off for just a minute. And you could hear her outside those wooden doors, on the outside on the porch. You could still hear her singing. And she was enjoying it. She was having fun with it. She was enjoying praising the Lord. And so many times in our life, we don't have that anymore. We don't enjoy praising the Lord. When's the last time that you enjoyed praising the Lord? Think really hard. Don't answer out loud. We're not going to embarrass anybody tonight. When is the last time that you enjoyed praising the Lord? Better question. When is the last time you praised the Lord? Not talking about singing along to a song. When is the last time that you sang a song from the heart, knowing that that song was for a mighty God that has done marvelous acts for us? When is the last time we praised God? Most of my life I was taught that whenever you sang, you either sang with your hands in your pockets, your hands folded in front of you, your hands crossed behind you. That's the three ways to sing. That's the three ways to do it. There aren't four. You don't put one hand in your pocket. You definitely don't leave your thumbs out. There's three ways to do it. Your hands completely in your pockets, folded in front of you, folded behind you. That's it. That's the way my daddy taught us to sing. And then whenever you sang, you stood up and you poked your chest out and pulled your back and you sang. How much emphasis is on singing today for our kids? Bailey stood up here. We got here about 5:30 this evening. It was more comfortable in the church house than it was in our house because we had a walk-in shower in our kitchen today. Some of you get that. When it started raining, we had a walk-in shower in the kitchen. So whenever we, you know, got around a little early, we came on to the church house. And at 5:20 we got here. Bailey said, "I want to sing." So she come up here and she got one of the microphones. And Emily recorded a little bit of the song, but she sang the whole thing. I said, "What do you want to sing?" She said, "I want to sing There's a River." I said, "What song is There's a River?" Well, the song that the kids sang Sunday at the cross with Chris Tomlin. She sang every word to that song. She knew it as many times as Emily went over it at the house. She knew it. And she stood up here and she sang every single word of that song in that microphone. Every single word. And she laughed. And she even bounced a couple of times whenever it, you know, got really good in the middle. She loved standing up here and singing that song. And there's two different types of that we want to look at is do we love singing a song because that makes us feel good? Or do we love singing and praise and worshiping God because He's worthy? There's a very big difference in those two. It should make us feel good. It should revitalize us. That is part of revival. But that is not the only reason that we sing these songs. That is not the only reason that we stand up and we sing these songs. That is not the only reason that we do it. If it is, then we're doing it wrong. We're doing it to worship God. We're doing it to praise God. And He finishes out this book of songs with, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." The last line says, "Praise ye the Lord." He's talking to you. You don't think you can sing? You have breath. That means God gave you the opportunity. God gave you the ability, even if it's not sounding like everybody else. Believe it or not, there are some songs that are entirely too high for me to sing. There's one particular song, and we're going to practice it after church. And on the fourth time, or fifth, or sixth time, I don't even remember. However many times we sing this particular line over and over and over again. The last time, it goes way up yonder. I can't get that high. Can't do it. So I stay down low where I belong, where I'm supposed to be. Because I can't sing the same way as that little bitty short guy from the Kingdom Heirs. Y'all heard him sing? Or the little bitty short guy. Why are all the tenor singers short guys? Little bitty short guy and the Inspirations with that high voice. My goodness, that dude can sing. But he sings a lot different than the dude that sings bass for. A lot different. God gives different people voices. God gives different people the ability to play different instruments. He gives some the ability and even the desire to lead music, to lead choir, to be someone that you know, vocalizes. But the Bible commands that everyone, bar none, that every single one praises God. And what I want to see, and I really wish we could get to that point, and it scares me that we're not there yet. But I really hope that we can get to the point that we sing like we do on the lawnmower or in the shower. Any of y'all sing on the lawnmower? You know the reason we sound so good on the lawnmower? We can't hear us. And we'll sing to the top of our lungs. And people that can't hear the lawnmower, people that can't hear the lawnmower and only hear us, they say, well, who in the world is over there dying? Because we sing loud in the lawnmower. We sing loud in the shower because we sound great in the shower. Before the house burned, we had this tile shower. And it was oversized. It had a bathtub in it. It was really nice. I loved it. It was Emily's favorite part of the bathroom. And whenever you walked in, there was glass on one side and tile on the other side. And the acoustics were awesome. And you could sing in there and it would carry through the whole house. But whenever we come to church, we don't sing that way anymore. We sing like people are going to judge us if we miss a note. Or we miss a verse, or we miss a word. We sing like we don't want to be heard. We sing like we don't want to worship. The question is not whether or not you can sing. The question is whether or not we desire to worship God enough to sing. That's the question. Do you desire to worship God enough to sing? There's a song that I'm hoping that our piano player can learn it. I love the song. It's a beautiful song. I cannot find it on YouTube anywhere. It's called Gratitude. And toward the end of the song, the verse goes, come on my soul, don't you. Come on my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your voice, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Anybody ever heard that song? She sings. She knows. Okay, good. So the first time I ever heard that song was on the retreat we went on. And a man stood up and did a short devotion on that line. He said, there's a lion inside of your lungs. He said, you don't understand how you can sing and worship God until you decide to worship God. You don't understand how powerful that can be to those around you until you decide to worship God. You don't understand how big of an impact that can have on the people in your family and how big of an impact it can have on your life until you decide to stand up and sing and worship God. It can change your life. Get up and praise ye the Lord. And what I find funny is we'll sing country songs. We'll sing whatever kind of genre of songs you listen to, I don't know. We'll sing along with this and we'll sing along with that, but why don't we sing along with Christian songs? Why don't we shout? Why don't we stand up and let her rip? It's because we don't see God the way we ought to yet. Turn to Acts. Gospel of Acts chapter 12. We don't see God the way that we ought to see Him, or we would worship Him the way that we ought to worship Him. We don't yet believe in God the way that we ought to believe in Him, or else we would worship Him the way that we ought to worship Him. We pray, God help our church, God bless our church, God help my family, God bless my family, God help me, God bless me. But we don't really believe that. We're not the only ones. Acts chapter 12, Peter is in prison. They apprehended him, verse 4, put him in prison, and delivered him to the soldiers. Peter was kept in prison, verse 5, but prayer was made without ceasing for him. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God from him. Skip over. Verse number 13. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. But she ran in and told the people, Peter is at the gate. The man that you're praying for, the man that you're wanting delivered, is standing outside at the gate. And they say, oh, you're crazy. They said unto her, thou art mad. God answered their prayer, and they said, you're crazy. God can, God will. But whether or not we see it is based on our faith. Believe it or not, our worship is based on our faith. Our praise is based on our faith. And our faith is weak.
They said to her, "Thou art mad," but she constantly affirmed that it was so. And they said, "Well, maybe it is his angel. Because it can't be Peter. God can't have done this. We're praying to God to turn him loose, but there's no way God turned him loose." Do y'all understand how crazy that sounds? We're praying that God turns him loose, but there's no way God can turn him loose.
There's a movie. I hate quoting movies, but I'm going to do it. There's a movie called Evan Almighty. In the movie, Morgan Freeman, who's playing God, meets this lady in the diner. And she's sitting here talking, and she said, "I prayed that God would bring my family closer together. But it seems like all that's happened is it's driven us further apart." And Morgan Freeman looked at her and he said, "Whenever you pray for patience, does God make you patient or give you an opportunity to be patient? Whenever you ask God for faith, does he, boom, give you faith? Or does he give you an opportunity to have faith? And whenever you pray that God will bring your family closer together, he's not going to, boom, do that. He's going to give you an opportunity to work and love and praise and live and grow together. But be very, very careful what you ask for. Because what she prayed for, what she asked for, cost them a lot. Sometimes what we pray for costs us a lot, and we don't see it. We don't see it. We pray for God to help our church and to grow our church, and whenever he begins to give us opportunities, we see it as, "God, why are you doing this to us?" Rather than, "God, look what you're doing for us. Help us so that we can go the next step." Whenever we ask God to help our family and to bless our kids, he's going to give us an opportunity to minister to them, to witness to them. I was watching a video. Sadie Robertson was doing this big speaking thing that she does once a year. She stood up on the stage and she said, "If somebody gets in the truck to go for a ride for me, guess what? You're going to get ministered to. And if you're sitting in the boat with me, or you're sitting in the deer stand with me and the deer's not moving, guess what? You're going to get witnessed to." You know why? Because that's the best place to do it. They can't run away from you. She made a lot of sense. But whenever we get put in situations like that, it's too awkward to talk about God. It's too awkward to praise God. And so instead, we ask God, "God, help me be a witness to others. Help me to love others. Help me to be a blessing to others." But whenever God puts that person in our truck, we choose to talk about the weather, or football, or basketball, or deer hunting, or turkey hunting, or whatever else that it may be. Anything but what he's given us the opportunity to witness about. The last line of verse number 16, Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and they saw him, I love that verse. They were astonished. Very few times in the Bible is that word used. But whenever they saw him, they were astonished. They were astonished at three things that I could find. They were astonished that it was actually Peter and that the girl wasn't mad. They were astonished that Peter showed up alive and unaccompanied. And I believe that they were astonished at how little faith they had. I believe that God revealed that to them at that point. Because God has a sense of irony and a sense of humor. I believe that they saw their lack of faith. Whenever that girl looked at him and said, "I told y'all I wasn't crazy." It was Peter. So go back to Psalm 50. Whenever God answers our prayers, praise him. Whenever God saves our kids, praise him. Whenever God protects our family, praise him. Whenever God blesses us with one more breath, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. The last line is, praise ye the Lord. I still haven't gotten to the point that I'm going to raise my hands and sing. I'm not. I'm going to hold a songbook. I'm not going to do it. But I praise God a lot more now than I used to. A lot more. You know why? I see Him as a bigger God than I used to. I see more that He's done for me than I used to. Because most of my life, I'm a very selfish person. Most people are. Most of my life, I saw what I had accomplished. I hold several records for my high school baseball team. Struck out the most people. Walked the least amount of people. Went to most games without a walk. Had the highest on-base percentage of anyone on the team for 2 years running. All kind of things that I accomplished. Those are my accomplishments. Held a couple of records for basketball seasons and my brother come along and broke them. Things that I accomplished. Had a GPA that I was crazy proud of. Things that I accomplished. Got all kinds of scholarships and did a speech at the end of graduation that people stood up and cheered for 10 minutes. And they still talk about it today. Something I had done. Something I had accomplished. And the majority of my life, that is the way I looked at things. Here's what I have done. My resume is what I have grown to, what I have done, what I have accomplished, what I have succeeded at in my life is right here on my resume, on this piece of paper. And until we realize that this right here is what God has allowed me to do. This right here is what God, this is how much He has blessed me. Not what I've done, not what I've accomplished. This is how much He blessed me. This is the opportunities that He gave me. And until we get to that point, we don't see God yet. We barely even met Him. All that time, you know what I had? I had a profession of faith. My name was on the church roll. I led in prayer in church. I led music in church. I sang in church. I sang specials in church. And I can still sing most of those songs in my sleep. I wasn't worshiping God. Wasn't worshiping God. I was just singing. You know the reason I love to sing? I love to sing because people told me that's something good. That's the reason I love to sing. Not anymore. I think my singing's got worse, but the reason I sing has gotten better. We don't sing because people tell us we sing good. We sing because we worship God that is worth. But we don't sing because we want everybody to hear us or because we want to rattle the windows. We rattle the windows because our God is worth. We don't sing because the song is beautiful. We sing because our God is beautiful. And whenever we see Him, whenever we truly see God the way that we ought to see God, the way that we need to see God, the way that He wants us to see Him, then we will stand up and we will praise the Lord. We will praise the Lord. And I hope and pray that each and every individual can get to that point. That we can praise the Lord louder because He is worthy. That we can praise the Lord longer because He is worthy. That we can praise the Lord more because He is worthy. So we can obey Him. So we can love Him. So we can serve Him. So we can praise Him because of who He is. Because of what He has done. Verse number 2, because of His mighty acts and His greatness toward us. With all the instruments, with all of our ability, with everything that's in us, praise the Lord. He's worthy of that. He's given us too much for us not to praise Him. Look at what He's done in our life. Look around and look at what He's done. There's two ways to look at our life. From a perspective of look what God has done, and from a perspective of woe is me. Because we all have sad stories. We all have things in our life that could have put us absolutely down. Brother Randy, you shared the other night. You never had any bitterness after you wrecked. That's God, because most people would and probably still do. You could have sat down. You could have still be sitting down.
not grown, not shared your testimony, not loved others, not allowed that opportunity that God gave you, as big of a struggle as it may have been, not allowed it to grow you into the man that you are today, you could have sat down and you could have given up. We can sit down and give up because what has happened in our life, or we can take those situations and we can grow to where God wants us to be, and then we can praise the Lord. People enter into gyms the first of the year, weight loss, weight lifting, working out gyms. Okay? Their biggest month of the year is January. Anybody know why? New Year's resolutions. Everybody wants to join a gym January 1. Here we come. Well, we're going to let you join for $1 this month. Join the gym, and then we got you locked in for a year. You know how many people actually, you know, make it through the rest of the year? Because whenever they get in there, it's hard to work out. I've never been a working out type of person, but it's hard to work out. It's hard to sit in there and lift weights. It's hard to sit in there and come home and your body aching and your muscles hurting, and it's physically exhausting, and you got to get up crazy early to go. It's hard. But at the end of the day, are you not growing? Is it not for a reason? For a purpose? Serving God is the same way. Praising God is the same way. Things in our life may hurt us. Things in our life may break us. Man, if we look at it from the perspective of woe is me, oh poor pitiful me, I'm just going to sit right here in the fetal position and do absolutely nothing, then shame on us. We ought to look at it from the perspective of praise God for what He has done. Because there's not a single one of us that God has not done miracles in our life that have benefited us drastically. Not a one. Look around at kids. Look around at grandkids. Look around at parents. Look at your own life that God has blessed and brought you here. Look at our church. Look at where we came from. Look at where we've been. Look at where we are. It's only because of God. And I pray that we can see Him, that we can praise Him. And like the psalmist said in the last line of the great book of Psalms, he said, "Praise ye the Lord." Well, we have a verse from Psalm. We're going to ask for